Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. On this Father's Day, our brother told us it's a good day to reflect on our own fathers, and that's true. But it's also a good day, like every day is a good day, to be grateful for what God blessed us with. And this morning we want to think about that, maybe especially in relation to fathers on this Father's Day. There's something somewhat intimidating, and it makes you feel very vulnerable to preach a message on Father's Day and the responsibilities of fathers. I left work early on Friday, told my coworker that we were going to be up here and that had the responsibility to preach here, and he said, "Oh my." He said, "Do the congregation there a favor," and he said, "preach to the dads there on Sunday morning the way you would preach to moms on Mother's Day." And I knew exactly what he meant. He said, "So many times it feels like moms get blessed on Mother's Day and dads just get chewed out." And I know why that is. And this is what he said. He said, "Maybe we should encourage in our Mennonite churches that the moms preach on Father's Day." We don't believe that that would be proper and right. But there again, I knew exactly what he meant. It feels awkward to praise the dads when you're a dad yourself. You know what I'm saying, dads? But we want to look at the Word of God this morning. And this morning, dads, we do have some admonition from the Word of God that we want to talk about this morning. But the last part of the message, I'd like to talk more to the moms and maybe to the children, to maybe shift our culture a little bit from the world around us and how dads are viewed in our current culture. Turn with me for an opening scripture to Genesis chapter 6. If you want a title for the message this morning, I simply entitled it Responsible Fathers. You know, there's many men are responsible for fathering a child, but are not willing to become a responsible father for the child. Some are willing to claim the authority of fatherhood, but refuse or fail to shoulder the responsibility that comes with it. And this morning, it's my desire that we can be inspired, that we can be challenged in our Christian lives, and especially for us dads, for every father here this morning, that our commitment, our desire to serve God can be renewed, and that we can have our commitment increased, our passion to be a godly, responsible father, to be all of that as we're men of God. The word responsible, the definition, if you look it up in Webster's, the definition for the word responsible means having an obligation to do something or having control over or care for someone as part of one's role. That's the word the responsible means. We're talking about responsible fathers. It also means being the primary cause of something and so able to be blamed or credited for it. That also applies to us fathers, doesn't it? And the third definition it gave was having to report to a superior or someone in higher authority and to be answerable to them for one's actions and performance. That also fits very well with fathers. We are not top dog in charge. We are accountable and responsible to Almighty God, and we must remember that every day of our lives. This morning, I'd like to look at some examples in the Bible of responsible fathers, fathers that were responsible, and pick out some of the things that the Word of God tells us about them. It tells us about their fathering that shows us the definition of this word responsible. Genesis chapter 6. This is a familiar story of Noah. And in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, it says that God saw the wickedness was great in the earth. The thoughts and the imaginations of the people, the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. That sounds like a pretty dark picture. We think our world around us gets pretty dark sometimes. But this looks very dark there in verse 5. But God saw that. He saw that their motives, their intentions were evil. And of course that resulted in their actions. Verse 11, it says the earth was filled with corruption and violence. But in verse 8 and 9, God also noticed something else. right there in this wicked and evil culture, God saw Noah. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And I like that last phrase there. And Noah walked with God. That word just that's used there in verse 9, it means that he was lawful, he was honest, and obedient to the laws of God. That's what God saw when he looked down and saw Noah. God says he was perfect. That word perfect means, and it translates to completeness and maturity. It doesn't mean that he was one who never failed. Hebrews 11 verse 7 tells us that his reverential fear of God motivated him to obey God, even though it didn't make sense. And we're not going to go into all the details of that story, but when you think about the insanity of what God asked Noah to do, at that time when there was no rain, Noah had no frame of reference to follow through with what God was asking him to do. Yet he was willing to stand up and stand out and row against the current. His tremendous faith and loyalty to God trickled right down through his family. And his family accompanied him into the ark, into that boat, that life-saving boat. Let's turn to the book of Job. Question I have is, we observe Noah's life. Men, fathers, are we walking with God? Is it our goal and is it our desire to diligently walk in the steps of our master? Are we doing all that God commands us to do like Noah did? Verse 22 of, while you're turning to the book of Job there, verse 22 of that chapter in Genesis where it talks about Noah. Verse 22 of that same chapter there in chapter 6, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Same thing in the next chapter in verse 5. Noah did according unto all the commandment, all that the Lord commanded him. And then we see the outcome of that. Noah went in the ark, his sons and their wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. The result of Noah's obedience to God. Job chapter 1. Sorry, I didn't give you the chapter. Job chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 1 and 2, and then skip over to verses 4 and 5. When we think about Job, my mind at least always goes to his devastating losses. His wife, his friends letting him down, and all the losses that he had. But Job chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. Let's skip down to verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for the three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Verse 1 describes Job as a man pretty much of the same character as Noah in a lot of ways. Verse 2 talks about his children. Verse 4 and 5, we see a responsible father's heart. His children were precious to him. However, Job recognized that in spite of all his best efforts as a faithful father, a godly father, Job recognized that in spite of that, all his best efforts to teach them the ways of God, that they had the potential to sin and to fail. With all Job's assets listed there in verse 3, we didn't read that verse, but if you read through that and you read some of Job's assets that were listed there, Job must have had tremendous responsibility. Dad, did you ever have the times in life where you feel overwhelmed with responsibility? And probably the biggest overwhelming feeling of all of that is how to put it in proper categories to be able to reach around. We've been there. We have those experiences. We have those feelings. I'm sure Job had a lot of those feelings. Yet in all of that, in all his tremendous responsibility, he took time out in verse 5, it says continually. Thus did Job continually. Took time out to pray for his children and for their spirit, and that how much he cared about what they were facing in life. He cared about their spiritual warfare. In this passage here, we clearly see that Job was a priest in his household. And though God blessed him with tremendous wealth, Job obviously did not succumb to materialism. Job realized that all his assets that are listed there in verse 3 were nothing more than assets that he would leave behind. And he also realized that his children were not his assets. And they were the only thing that he could take with him when he left this earth. We can look at a lot of other examples of responsible fathers. We can look at a lot of other examples in the Bible of fathers that were not responsible fathers. The Old Testament repeats over and over and over throughout the Old Testament, especially when it's talking about the kings of Israel. It said, this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then it would say, as his father did. David was a man whose heart was after God. And yet David committed some very, very gross immoral sins. And David paid the price with those sins by some of his own children making some really bad choices. We'll get into that more tonight. I don't want you to think for one minute that I excuse children's choices, decisions, and patterns in life because of their dads. Although it does definitely influence us. I'd like to look at the subject this morning in three parts. Number one, how can you and I, speaking to us as dads this morning, or everyone on the men's side, God may call you in your lifetime to be a father. So whatever age you are, if you're on this side of the house this morning, the first point is for us. The second part, I think we're going to mostly skip over. I had it in here as helping our children become responsible adults. And as I studied for tonight, I almost crossed that one out of this morning because tonight we want to look at, I'm drawing a blank on what I even titled the message tonight, families. Families on a mission with a vision is what we want to talk about tonight. So I think the second part, we're going to skip over here for the most part this morning. But then the last part is where we want to end up with, and I'd like to spend some time in that, is our responsibility to every one of us here, our responsibility by God to our own earthly fathers. God is looking for responsible fathers. Responsible fathers are needed in the home. Responsible fathers are needed in the church and in society. It's been said that at a very young age, children develop a view and a concept of who God is based on who their earthly father is. Or I should say maybe based on the performance of their earthly father. And there is some truth to that, but sometimes I think maybe, sometimes that I fear in our, I'll say our Mennonite culture, maybe we take that a little too far sometimes. And I'd like to tell you children here this morning, whether you're a girl or a boy, or regardless of what age you are, your dad is not perfect because he's human. And if you're too young to realize that yet, bask in that innocence. Because you will soon realize that your dad is not perfect. Your dad is not God. Your heavenly father will never ever fail you, but your dad will. God will never let you down. This morning, children of whatever age, if your dad is a godly man, and you know your man is your dad. You know your dad is a man of God with great faith. And he's doing all he can to live as a man of God. Thank him for it and bless him for it. And thank God for it and bless God for it. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. When you think, for any one of us, when you think of any of the homes that are represented here, and you were to put that home on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being on the very bottom, as maybe you call it a dysfunctional home, and 10 being on the top, where verses 18 to 20 of Colossians chapter 3 are diligently followed and tried to live out. where moral virtues are present and positive. Where would your home measure on that scale? And we right away think of somebody else's home. You think of the brother sitting beside you, you think of their home, and you think, well, yeah, theirs definitely doesn't make more than a 5. But make it personal this morning. Think about your own home. As dads, think about your own home. Holding it up against the Word of God, where would it measure on that scale? Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21 is the verses I'd like to read here. I'm sorry, 12 through 21. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elders of God, elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man ever quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts and in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So when we read those verses, and every one of us here, regardless of where we fit in our home, practice those verses. Is that not a beautiful picture? Does that not get us up pretty high on the scale in our homes? Where we fit in the scale is really not that important, other than the fact that if we put Christ at number 10, that should be our goal, to be Christ-like. So when we read those verses, I ask you this question, dads. Who bears the responsibility where the home fits on, where your home fits on that scale? If you're putting your home on that scale, who bears that responsibility? In a sense, every one of us do. Every one of us carries some responsibility where our home fits on that scale. But we hold our fathers to a very high standard, and we would say the fathers hold the majority of that responsibility, do we not? And I think that's right, that's fair, because the Word of God does too. Back in Genesis 1, if we went back to Genesis 1 and 2, where God created Adam, God created the world, God created everything in the world, but God created Adam first, before he created Eve. He created Eve to be Adam's helpmeet. God's principle of responsibility and leadership was established right there at the beginning of time, right there back in creation. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 16, God commanded who? Not to eat of that knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God, it doesn't say God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of that tree. It says God commanded the man not to eat of that tree. And then after that, God took the rib out of Adam and he made his helpmeet. In chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned. It doesn't say they disobeyed God. It doesn't say they heard the voice of God in the garden. It doesn't say they hid themselves from God. Verse 9, it says, the Lord God called unto them. No. Verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3 says, God called unto Adam. And he said, Adam, where art thou? You know why God said that? Because God was holding Adam responsible in that home. Dad's God is holding you and I responsible in our homes as well. Verse 21. In Colossians chapter 3 here, God directly is addressing the fathers in his word. There's a parallel verse to this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He says, provoke not. He's telling us, fathers, provoke not. We'll pick up on that a little bit later. He says, bring them up. A shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't chase them. Nurture. Nurture and admonition. That word admonition means to put them in the mind. Training by encouragement, by instruction and by reproof and by example. That's what he's telling us there in verse 21. And that takes wisdom to balance that admonition. You know, doctors talk about a balanced diet because of our health, our physical health. Our children need a balance of work and play and recreation. In our busy culture, we try and balance life, church, work, family, etc. But I think it's so important that we apply God's word to our lives in a proper balance, that we don't just pull out. As dads, if we're going to be men of God, leaders in our homes, that we take the word of God for what it says and we take the whole word of God, not just picking or choosing, overemphasizing on some and leaving out others. Moving on here. In our society, in the country that we live, there's a shortage of fathers. And there is a dearth of responsible fathers. I think we see that all around us. The home structure that God set up and that God clearly spells out for us in His Word is majorly under attack. And we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at statistics, because that doesn't bring us a lot of inspiration. But just a few facts that I'd like to share with us quickly to help you catch the burden. 38% of America's children are growing up in homes with no presence of any father figure. 38%. Now, I think it's probably higher than that right now. Statistics aren't extremely current. 50% of all babies born today are born out of wedlock. 63% of all suicides are individuals who came from fatherless homes. 85% of all teens in juvenile detention prisons and detention facilities do not have a father in their lives. 85%. Our church used to be active in having weekly Bible studies in the juvenile detention center in Allentown. That closed up here several years ago, so we don't have that privilege anymore. And I believe that statistic is very factual in just relating to those teens that were there. Boys and girls were there in that same facility. 85% no father figure in their lives. Time magazine published an article several years ago based on a research that was done by secular psychiatrists. They were not Christian professing people. And a few quotes that I copied out of that article as a result of their study. And I quote, "More than virtually any other factor, a biological father's presence in the home will determine a child's success and happiness." Another quote, "The absence of fathers is linked to most social nightmares, from drugs, guns, crime, and violence to girls with babies." And one more quote here out of that article, it said, "Fatherlessness is the most destructive trend in our generation. More than drug and substance abuse, more than gang warfare, or more than jobless and poverty. The most destructive trend in our generation." Why are there so many responsible fathers? I'd like to just think about that a little bit. A couple things that we can attribute to the problem of irresponsible fathers is, number one here, Satan is busy, and he knows that if he can destroy the home, and he knows that if he can destroy the head of the home as God designed it, there's a lot of other things around that and under that are going to collapse with it. The loss of the fear of God. I think our Sunday school teacher, someone mentioned that earlier this morning. The loss of the fear of God. The defiance of God's order and His commands. And here's one I'd like to just look at a little bit. And here's one where I'd like to pull the responsibility of the moms, the wives, the children. The news media in Hollywood are wrecking havoc of their home structure. And some of you my age and older know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you young ones maybe don't pick up on this because maybe a little more all you knew. And I wasn't born in the 50s and 60s, but if you go back to there, I was born in the mid-70s. But if you go back even before that, but it was still pretty much that way as a young boy. In the 50s and 60s, TV shows and movies portrayed dads as what? Some of you older ones. What were the dads portrayed as back in the 50s and 60s and 70s? They were portrayed as the heroes. You saw ads in magazines or on TV or whatever. Dads were the heroes in America. Dad was intelligent in those movies, in those stories. He knew best. Dad was large and in charge. His leadership was honored. His role was respected. That was in the culture around us. It was that way. Today, the news, media, and entertainment have tried to redefine what the home is. Home structure is now considered normal when they might have two moms and one pretending dad or vice versa, and it's all mixed up. And many, many schools in the public school system today, when there is a home that is normal, it's considered not normal. Today, the news media portrays dad as a dummy. Movies portray dad as an idiot. He's a clueless goofball that's of very little value in the home. And many times he's thrown out. And I'm going to jump up and down all about the women's lib movement that I've seen developing in my generation. But I think that has majorly accelerated this horrific view of dads in our culture. This destructive view of dads and his role. And why am I saying that this morning? Surely that's not part of our culture. You know why I'm saying that, dear ones, this morning? The culture around us puts pressure on us a whole lot more than we like to admit. The attitudes that our children hear around them, the attitudes in society, their mindsets as they depart from God and God's order and God's structure, it does leak in on us. The Word of God spells out God's plan, His order, His structure. And then throughout Scripture, He backs it up. And unlike society, it never portrays failure to follow God's way in a positive light. How can we this morning as God's people come out among from our society, its sickly and God-stripped culture, and be separate? This morning I suggest that one of the first ways we can do that is to honor dads who God designed for us to honor dads. And that starts with us men. When we maintain our reverent and our healthy fear of God and our commitment to Him and accept the responsibility that God gave us, and we allow God to lay that responsibility square and fair on our shoulders, and we shoulder it like men of God, we can push back at the culture around us. And it doesn't have to become part of us. Those verses we read there in Colossians 3 says that we are to love our wives and be not bitter against them. That word bitter simply means do not treat your wife harshly. Dads, this morning our children observe how we treat their mom. And it matters to them. And it'll come back to bite us if we treat their mom harshly. Our children know how we feel towards their mom. 1 Peter 3:7, it tells us that how we treat our wives will affect God hearing our prayers. Responsible fathers serve God willingly and cheerfully. And as we do that, we'll set an example for our children to do the same. One of the things that I think is a tremendous blessing in the family unit, that as dads serve God, that they, in every way they can, they take their children with them, take their families with them in their serving opportunities and get their children involved. My father-in-law served as janitor for most of his life there at Richland Mennonite Church. He served as janitor there for years and years on end. He was reelected I don't know how many consecutive times. And I don't know if my wife would remember it. I think he probably must have served as janitor for 20-some years all back to back. And my wife would tell stories how she remembers as a little girl growing up, probably up into her teenage years, following him along, Saturday nights, going out to just check things out at the church to make sure it's ready for Sunday. Sunday morning, going back out again to make sure the church was open up and it was warm or cool or whatever the janitor all does. He involved his children in his service, even though it was just a janitor. You know what I mean by that. Janitors carry a very, very, very important role in the church. Verse 21 of Colossians 3, we talked a little bit about that, not provoking your children. We could say a whole lot more on this one. But I just touch on that one briefly. My wife and I had the privilege of serving at our fellowship's Bible school there at EMBS several years. And I think a lot of Bible schools probably do this. At least we do that there. But sometime throughout that three-week term of all those youth there, we have a one-to-one interview with every one of those students. My wife with the girls and myself with the boys. We split it up with some of the other staff there. But one of them, they fill out a sheet in preparation just to get them thinking, to get us thinking about some of the things we want to touch on in that interview. And I don't remember what all the questions are on that sheet that they fill out. But I do know that one of them is their relationship with God, and another one is their relationship with their parents. And on the boys' sheet, I think there's a specific question about their relationship with their dad. And dads, I'm telling you, it is shameful, some of the answers and some of the discussions that we have with some of those boys in those interviews about their dad. It's shameful. Some of the things that I hear some of those boys saying, my dad is a different man at home than he is at church. He's more kind and respectful to the bank teller. Or if we go out to eat, he's much more polite and kind to the waitress than he is to my mom. He tries to control my every move and doesn't let me grow up. Fathers, when we are wholly devoted to God, we will be far less likely to provoke our children to wrath and discouragement. We've got to hurry on. Second part of the message, I said we were going to mostly skip over. For the lack of time, first of all. Are we teaching our children to accept personal responsibility for their actions? God says, be ye holy, and in his word, he tells us that every one of us will give an account of himself to God. Ezekiel 18 talks very, very clearly about that. That says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. No son or daughter, and youth, children, I want you to get this morning, just in case you're not here tonight. No son and daughter will ever slip unto heaven unnoticed by slipping in, hanging on to dad's coattail if he was a righteous man. Neither will any child be dragged into hell because of their dad's sins. Remember that. Point number three, our responsibility to our earthly fathers. Verse 20 of this text says, children, obey. That word obey simply means to hear and listen, give attention to, heed and yield, obey and follow. That's a loaded word, isn't it? Ephesians 6 talks about that. In addition to that, in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to honor our parents. Honoring our parents means to respect and love them. It says it's a command with compliance to this command. And with that command, and with compliance to that command, there's a promise. I am by nature more of an emotional person, but if it looks like I'm weeping all morning, I'm actually not. Yesterday, we were out enjoying nature, and a windstorm blew a lot of dirt in my eyes. And my eyes are not doing so well. I was concerned about that this morning. So my eyes keep on draining because of the dirt in my eyes. Anyway, neither here nor there. Command. A command with compliance to this promise, there is a blessing. He says you'll live a long life. Your life will be full of blessings. And I don't know what all is implied by that when he talks about this life of promise and this long life of promise. But in the Levitical law, if you go back to chapter 9, verse 20 of Leviticus, it says this, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That word curseth, get this, young boys especially, children, that word curse that the Word of God talks about there, it doesn't mean cursing and damning and swearing at your dad or your mom. It means this. It means to esteem lightly, to belittle, to treat as insignificant or of small worth. Does that sound familiar to what I said a little bit ago of exactly what our culture is doing with the dad figure? Are they treating the dads in America lightly? Are they belittling them, treating them as insignificant or of small worth? I asked myself this question, and I asked you this question. If we were living under the Levitical law today, how many of us would be present here this morning? How many of us ever treated our dead with that attitude? How many of us ever talked to our dead with that attitude? It's recorded both in Matthew and Mark's gospel when Jesus referenced back to this command, when he was talking about the seriousness of honor and respect for a father and for our parents. I had a note here to turn to Mark chapter 7 if time. I think we're going to pass on that because of time. But Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 7 of that chapter. And I'm just putting it in my own words there a little bit. He says, Jesus was telling the Pharisees, he said, your worship to God is all in vain. He said, you're pushing aside God's command to honor your parents. And you're trying to justify it by saying, well, I did this. I served God here, or I did that, or I put all this money in the offering. I supported my church in this way. I was a Sunday school teacher, or I did X, Y, Z. And Jesus was condemning them. Regardless of all that they had done, Jesus was saying, you didn't honor your dad the way the Word of God says you're supposed to. And Jesus called them hypocrites for it. Proverbs 37 verse 17 says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out and the young eagles shall eat it. And I'm not exactly sure what all is implied in that verse, but I do understand that God takes it very, very seriously how we treat our parents and our dads. We say that fathers loving the mother of their children will bring security to the child. Moms this morning, you know what else will bring security to the child? When a mom and a wife respects, submits, and honors your children's dad, brings tremendous security in the home. Children feel that, they know that, when it's present or when it's missing. Moms, when it's your turn to pray, just some practical things for you. When it's your turn to pray, in your family worship, your family devotional time, give your children the blessing of letting them hear you pray for their dad and thank God for their dad. Thank God in your public prayers for your husband's leadership in the home and providing for their family. And you say, well, he's not worthy of it. Do it anyway. It might encourage him to become worthy of it. Children, pray for your dad. Pray for your dad. You say he's not worthy of it. Maybe he's not. Maybe he didn't earn your respect. But you can pray for your dad that God can do a work in his heart and life and make him become a man of God if he's not. Don't ever, children, don't ever get yourself into this rut of thinking that you don't need to honor your dad because he's not what he should be. You won't find that in the Word of God. We can so quickly, in our homes, we can so quickly get in that cycle. And you say, well, the Bible says dad shouldn't provoke. Well, maybe your dad does provoke. What's your responsibility in that? So many times we get in this cycle. Dad provokes and Johnny disrespects. And dad provokes more. And Johnny disrespects more. And he doesn't listen to dad. He doesn't honor dad. And this thing goes round and round and around and this ball just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the stress is multiplied. And God is not honored and glorified from our homes like he'd like to be. The Word of God gives us the answers. Whether or not either party is at fault does not excuse the other party from responding in an ungodly way. Honoring father includes respecting household rules and expectations. It doesn't matter if it's a curfew that your dad has in place for your home. It doesn't matter if it's table manners, maintenance around the house, chores or whatever. Respect your dad by doing your part. Honoring father means treating your mom with love and respect. Boys, do you get that one? Honoring your father means treating your mom, your dad's wife, with honor and respect. You know why? Because if your dad is a godly man, your mom is the apple of his eye. And if you walk up to your dad and try and poke your finger in his eye, guess what's going to happen? He's going to stop you real quick. And dads, I'm telling you, we better stop our children just as quick when they disrespect their mom. Honoring dad means appreciating him and what he does for your family. And I'm not suggesting a bunch of flattery. I'm not trying to excuse deadbeat dads, but society's view and disrespect to the father will cause already weak, human, struggling men to give up. And like I said, I'm not excusing a dad that is not what he should be. But I've known too many dads that become very, very discouraged. Serving as a husband, serving as a father. And maybe even walked away from their responsibility. Because they were so discouraged because they could never measure up. God help us. God help you moms. God help you wives. God help you children to encourage your dads beyond that. Billy Graham once said this. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Let's not let what he said about society ever become our church. There's many discouraged and overwhelmed fathers around us. Dads who are weary of trying to juggle responsibilities of life to provide spiritually, emotionally for their families. And yes, physically and monetarily. God gave fathers broad shoulders and tough skin and big hearts to carry on. In any organization, the person who carries the most authority and responsibility, guess what? He also carries the majority of the criticism and blame when something goes sideways. And sometimes, dads, we got to be okay with this. But sometimes, as dads, you might take responsibility, you might take blame, you might take accusations for something in your home that you had nothing to do with. That's okay. Because you're in charge by God's design. And that means taking the bullet sometimes, maybe even when you didn't deserve it. Fathers, we've been given a serious charge. Let's accept it, let's embrace it, and let's fulfill our role with the tools that God gave us, with the grace and the strength that God gives us. We could look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Is that clock working? What time actually is it? Yeah, it's time to close. I thought something just does not seem like it's moving back there. That's not fair. You all got a clock and I don't. I'm going to just close with that. I have more that we could share, but it's time to close. I think you get the burden of the message. I'd just like to close with this. On this Father's Day, I got a little something along here. I don't know. Do we go to the back of the church right after the service? There's more of these back there. I just brought a couple up here. I'm going to have these back there in the back. I would like for your church family here, and I don't know how many are your visitors. I know very few of you here. That gives you a little bit of freedom sometimes to share your heart, not knowing who exactly you're talking to. But don't become this church family here. What's the name of your church? Pine Creek? Don't let Pine Creek Mennonite Church become like the culture around you. In this thing of not honoring dads and not giving them their rightful God-given place in your home. Here again, I'm not promoting a bunch of flattery. I'd like for this to be from the heart. But to help you out this morning, there's going to be some notepads and pens back there. And there's probably not enough for every person, but at least one per home. I think there's probably more than that. But moms, if you're a mom here this morning, or a wife, or maybe you're the oldest in your home, I want you to pick up a pen and a little notepad. I want you to take it home with you. And sometime throughout the next whatever period of time that you decide, write a little note of appreciation to your dad, to your husband, and slip it in his lunchbox or somewhere. Give it to him, hand it to him if you'd rather. Don't let your dad walk away from his responsibility because you were the one that was responsible for discouraging him. He will answer to God for his performance, but you may answer to God for how you were instrumental in discouraging him from fulfilling his performance. God help us be who and what His design in His Word intends for us to be, whether we're a dad, whether we're a mom, a spouse, a child, it doesn't matter. Let's be devoted and committed to serving God wherever He called us to serve Him, in whatever capacity that He has given us the responsibility for. Let's pray.